This is AgriPulse Open Mic, brought to you by Osborne & Barr, agriculture and rural America's greatest advocate. For more information, visit www.osborne-barr.com. And now, AgriPulse Open Mic.
Glenn, welcome to AgriPulse Open Mic.
Thank you very much. It's great to be with you.
Back on June 11th, you began your testimony to the House Agriculture Committee by stating that NRECA's objective is to help Congress develop and pass an affordable, workable, and sustainable piece of legislation to address the nation's energy and climate change objectives. Maintaining the affordability of electricity is the principle against which NRECA will judge all climate change and energy legislation. You were involved in the negotiations between Chairman Peterson and Waxman. Does the Waxman-Markey bill that was brought to the floor for a vote, does it meet the association's litmus test?
No, I don't think we're there yet, but I think they have made some improvements in the bill, and I think as most people who are familiar with the legislative process understand that that we're still working our way through the Congress. The bottom line is really going to come about once the bill goes to conference. That's working out the differences between any Senate version and House version, and that will be the end product. That will be when we make that determination as to whether it meets the test, whether it's affordable and sustainable and workable. So, but in the meantime, we got to continue to work on this bill. And as I said, we appreciate the improvements that were made. We appreciate some of the provisions that were included that address the fairness issue that we raised, but it's still got a lot of work to do before it reaches the point of acquiring the support of NRECA and electric cooperatives.
Coming out of committee, the rural electric co-ops opposed the bill. Then you got involved in the negotiations between Chairman Peterson and Waxman. What specifically happened as a result of those negotiations that allowed you last week to issue a statement saying you would no longer oppose it?
Well, it's not so much we wouldn't oppose it as much as we're not going to stand in the way. We're not going to be we're not going to be the folks that are trying to blow up the bill and do damage to it. And the reason for that, as I said, they address some of the problems. So one of the basic issues that we had before we even got to the merits of the bill was just the question of fairness. And we had situations in which allowances, many of your listeners won't know what those allowances are for, but allowances are what allow those of you who get your power from generation that may be based on fossil fuel, things like coal and natural gas, it will allow you to continue to receive that without being penalized. We have under this legislation a cap, only so many emissions are allowed to be produced in this country. But in order to produce up to that level, you have to have allowances that you either are provided with by the government or you buy on the open market. And that's where the cost can be great. That's what's reflected in the electric bills. And so this is a consumer issue. It's a regional issue, and each state would be affected differently. So we're fighting for fair treatment, equal treatment for every consumer all across the country. We're saying that people who receive the allowances should be people who have emissions, so nobody gets more than what they need. And we were successful in getting it agreed to that that no one would receive more than 100% of their allowances. There's still inequity in it and still work that needs to be done. But I think we have made good progress.
In other words, it puts all power companies on a level playing field, whereas before you had, as some people have pointed out, utility providers on the coast who stood to benefit at the expense of those in the middle part of the country?
That's exactly what the situation is. It's not level yet, but it's more level than it was. What we had previously was a state like Washington getting 3,700% of the emission allowances they needed, where you had other states that weren't getting 60% of the allowances they needed. So there was a wide swing of inequity West Coast and the Northeast were the big winners, and those in the rest of the country, generally speaking, were the losers. And that's what we were pushing for, that had to be addressed. And as I said, we made progress in that area. We've taken some of the more egregious situations and dealt with that. We feel there's still work that needs to be done, though.
Talk about the behind-the-scenes negotiations that took place between the two chairmen. Give us some color on how that process played out.
Well, it is a process in which a lot had to do with the jurisdiction of the two committees. Obviously, Chairman Peterson, the Agriculture Committee chairman, was battling strongly to try to make sure that agriculture, rural America was treated fairly. He was a real champion in that. Chairman Waxman was fighting for the prerogatives of the jurisdiction of his committee. So those two were negotiating back and forth. Of course, we were advocating the electric cooperatives, and in some cases we're not totally rural. We have many of our co-ops now that serve suburbs. But most of rural America is still served by electric cooperatives. In fact, we have 70% of the land mass of the country. So we're very concerned about how different regions were impacted. That's before we ever got to the questions about whether the legislation is workable. We still feel that the cap that it establishes is too aggressive for the next 10 years. We don't think that the country can meet that objective, and certainly not meet it without having a big impact on electric bills down the road. And so we're going to continue to push for that in the Senate to bring that into a reasonable, achievable goal. And also, of course, we'll continue to try to make the allocation of allowances more fair than what it is now, and hopefully we'll get that parity across the country. Only in that way can we say that individual households, citizens, families are not being discriminated against just because of the fact that their fuel may have been decided 30, 40 years ago to be a fossil fuel.
You mentioned the need for regional balance. Early on in the process, were you of the mind that Representatives Waxman, Markey, and perhaps even the Speaker may not have understood rural America?
Well, I think we did take note of the fact, of course, Chairman Waxman, Chairman Markey, and the Speaker, none of them have cooperatives in the, or electric cooperatives in their district. In the case of Massachusetts, there's no electric cooperatives even in the state, not many in California. So I don't think they have a real good understanding of electric cooperatives and the role that we play. So I think through this process, they probably got a much better understanding of that today than they did going in. And I think Chairman Peterson certainly made the point of how important it was that the offset provisions that will be important to us and others in the industry, that those offsets be workable. And that means that that the Department of Agriculture needs to play a major role if we're going to have agriculture being relied on to provide those offsets, not only in this country, but around the world. So those were important issues that were being decided.
And in the final analysis, since your co-ops represent a lot of farmers, do you think farmers got a fair shake out of this agreement?
Well, I think it's certainly much fairer than it was before. And as I said, I think it's much more workable than it was before. But I think Chairman Peterson would agree, and I think maybe even Chairman Waxman would agree, that as this process moves forward, we've still got work to do to make sure that that we achieve the objectives of the legislation, and at the same time do it in such a way that the American people can live with it.
Senate's been taking a wait-and-see approach on this issue, preferring to let the House go first. Do you have any insight as to when the Senate will get around to getting down to business?
Well, I think they're beginning to look at it now. I know the committees in the Senate have been doing some work in this area. The Senate Energy Bill has done is already focused on the renewable aspect of this legislation. So I think the Senate in committee has been doing some work. I don't think it's expected that this legislation would be taken up on the Senate floor probably till this fall, perhaps late fall, winter, due to the fact that health care is going to, I think, occupy most of the Senate's attention. They've already started that legislation while the House was working on climate change. So I think they'll probably wait until they get health care taken care of before they really turn their attention to climate change.
Related issue, the prospect of greenhouse gas regulation appears to be affecting investment decisions in the electricity sector. 2009 annual energy outlook from the Energy Information Agency confirms some industry worries that electricity generators who are looking to build capacity are switching to gas, natural gas, which I suppose is going to be in many regards, the fuel of choice going forward. What are the implications for consumer electricity rates from this switch to natural gas?
Of course, the concern over natural gas has always been that it's very volatile price-wise. The fuel is one that changes dramatically, and we are, I think, fortunate in that we have an expanded gas supply. I think, believe we have about 35% more in the way of reserves than what we thought we had back just a few years ago. So that, I think, is a big plus. But whenever you begin to use natural gas for baseload generation on electric power, that that is a lot of natural gas that will be consumed very rapidly. So the volatility issue is of concern, I think, to everyone who uses natural gas once it becomes a major fuel, a more major fuel, I should say, for the use of generation than it has been here most recently.
Finally, I got to ask you, as a former member of Congress, how would you vote if you were still in Congress on this piece of legislation representing an oil and gas state?
Very fortunately, I don't have to cast that vote. That would that would be tough, but I appreciate it. And no one has a greater appreciation than I do than the challenge of those House members are going to have in voting on this legislation. I know many of them find it to be imperfect, certainly, and many of them have provisions they would like to see changed or added to the bill. But, you know, when it comes down to it, the vote gets cast. Vote is going to have to be cast strictly yes or no. So there's no maybes.
Glenn English is the Chief Executive Officer of the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us here on AgriPulse Open Mic.
Thank you very much for having me.
AgriPulse Open Mic has been brought to you by Osborne & Barr, agriculture and rural America's greatest advocate. For more information, visit www.osborne-barr.com.